from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Danny Meringue.
Dusty Bun.
Dusty Hera.
I've been really busy. Trying to save the world from Russians and monsters.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader.
Of course you have.
1080.
I want to hear it.
The Fan.
Out of 3 here on a Tuesday afternoon on Danny and Dusty.
Hell yeah, it is.
Tuesday, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. And a new recurring bit here on the show, all college football season, 2 o'clock hour, the top former Pac-12 players of the week. The Pac-12 is dead. Long live the Pac-12.
There's a lot of really good former Pac-12 player performances. Pac-12, RIP, 11-1 in week one of the college football
season. Stanford being the only loss in a close game to TCU.
Yeah. And that was...
Two good coaches.
That was a good little game.
You got Sonny Dykes, got Troy Taylor. They didn't have the spice of roster greatness, but they played good football.
Eric A. Maynard is really good.
He's going to be fun to watch at the next level.
I like him.
Yeah.
I like Stanford.
I do too.
I love Lamp.
Another receiver that stood out, he may be the standout national player of the week at Arizona. The monster on the outside, Teteroa McMillan. 10 catches, 304 yards, 4 touchdowns.
That is the stupidest statistical line by a receiver of all time.
Just bonker stuff.
I mean, he is so fun to watch, and he is living up to every bit of the hype. He is
wide receiver one on the draft board.
He is the only player in FBS history with 10 or more receptions, 300 or more receiving yards, 30 yards or more per reception, and 4 or more touchdowns.
It was the single most dominant receiving game we've ever seen.
Yeah, I like him. And also, New Mexico sucks.
Boy, do they.
They lost to Montana State in 0 week, and they get 61 put up, and they could not touch Teteroa McMillan. And the thing that I love about McMillan is he went to Servite High School down in Southern California. Mm-hmm. My wife's aunt is the principal there. Mm-hmm. She said he is the greatest kid. Like, she, when he was entering his freshman year at Arizona, she's like, we got a kid who's going to Arizona this year, and she just gushed about how great of a young man he is, too. And that meant, like, when you see a guy who's that good and he's electric on the field, you hear that he and Noah Fifita, one, they got a buttload of cash to stay, but they also said, we don't want to leave the place that we came to high and dry.
Together, yeah.
And they wanted to stay at Arizona and see out what they started
put up
together.
Crooked numbers.
And, boy howdy, Brent Brennan in the Arizona Wildcats, way to go. 2 Southern Oregon Raiders on the staff, Matty Atkins and Greg Stewart. Way to go, guys.
Teteroa McMillan right now, a non-quarterback Heisman candidate.
Yeah, he should be.
Crazy.
He's going to put up redonkulous numbers. And he's going to have the ability to do this throughout the course of the year, too. I mean, you think of what their schedule is going to look like. I think 2 of the next 3 games are going to kind of be some of that tough sledding that he may see, because he's going to play 2 really good defenses in Kansas State and Utah on September 13th and the 28th. But Northern Arizona next week, and then you get into a lot of those Big 10 secondaries where, or Big 12 secondaries, where you're going to be able to rack up yards, put up some crooked numbers against the likes of Colorado, West Virginia, Houston, TCU, and Arizona State.
Are those good defenses?
No, Bob.
Ooh, gonna be tough. Speaking of Heisman potential, Cam Ward.
Yep.
Is he the Heisman front runner now?
He is the Heisman betting favorite in Vegas now. After 1 week, Cam Ward now has 7-1 odds. Dylan Gabriel's dropped from 6-1 to 15-2. So right now, Cam Ward is the betting favorite. Gabriel is third. Jalen Milroe is right after Gabriel. That's
surprising.
I still think it's ridiculous. Jackson Dart, his odds dropped. He went
for 4-15 and 4 touchdowns.
Yep. He is 10-1 odds. Travis Hunter, 11-1 odds. Carson Beck, 12-1 odds.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cam Ward, a little bit of a slow start with the early interception, and then he got in his bag. 26 of 35, 385, 3 tutties, and a pick. And I don't even think that underscores how effective he was.
He now has 20-1 odds.
Hell of a weekend.
Yeah. I will be fascinated to see how Miller Moss develops. He's got so many damn weapons around him, though. That is really fun to watch. And the biggest thing for him is that he finally has a competent defense. I don't want to say good yet, competent. Not dereliction of duty on the defensive side of the ball at USC. And that is huge for them. Huge.
Yep. Our final top former Pac-12 player of the week, USC's Miller Moss, 27 of 36, 378 and a touchdown.
Yep. Pretty good.
Pretty damn good. This is a little bit, we'll get, you know what? Maybe starting next week, we'll open this up for voting.
Yeah.
We'll run it on Tuesdays.
There were a ton of
big-time performances.
Crazy performances from former Pac-12 players, though. And I think, like, Jonah Coleman, too, up mm-hmm. at UW. He had an incredible day. Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders put up ridiculous numbers. The Heisman odds for Travis Hunter went from 33-1 to 11-1 this past
week. I mean, if he can stay healthy, I don't even think it matters that Colorado is going to win 4 games.
No.
He just might have numbers so crooked that...
Yeah. Falling off the board?
Mm-hmm.
DJ Uiagalelei.
Well, I mean, why was he up there?
Well, because they thought maybe this would be the year. And there's a lot of... people are crushing DJ right now. What is happening at Florida State is not wholly on him. We knew what he was after Trevor Lawrence left Clemson and he took over. He came to Oregon State and he facilitated and managed the offense well. He is not a guy that is going to win you a game. I don't know why people thought that all of a sudden DJ would be a guy who turns into somebody who's going to put a team on his back and drag you to victories. He has never been that guy in college. And it was expectations lumped upon him as the number two quarterback in that class coming out of high school. But we've seen it at Clemson and Oregon State, and now he's at Florida State, and it's like, nothing has changed.
Mm.
Nothing has changed. Sucks for DJ.
Do you want to go there next?
Sure, yeah, we can.
Let's hit the state of Florida and do a Florida wrap-up.
One thing for people to keep an eye on, Ashton Jeanty, the running back from Boise State.
Yes.
Started the year, 200-1 odds.
Yeah, what's he at now?
66-1.
He's going to keep climbing.
Yep. That running back there, pretty good at Boise State.
Yeah, we'll get a nice up-close look at him with Oregon here real soon.
Pretty good at Boise State.
All right, coming up, we're going to look at the freak show that is the state of Florida and college football next year on Danny and Dusty, 10 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
The state of Florida is in disarray unless you're in Miami. Or maybe it's the fact that the entire state is in disarray and Miami has always been in disarray and now it looks normal.
I'm not going to give Miami credit for that.
Mm.
So I'm just going to say it's all in disarray and the U is back for a week.
They are back for a week right now. That is for sure. The swagger, the effortless way that they go about things, the obnoxiousness, and I mean that in a flattering way. Like, it goes...
I mean this in the nicest way possible.
I genuinely
Y'all
do.
Y'all are obnoxious, but it, I mean it so
but
kindly.
But it's fun.
Yeah, it is.
Like, that the early 2000s Miami teams had a level of swagger that late 90s early 2000s Miami, followed by Texas USC. I think that 7 years of college football is some of the, like, it's the college football answer to, like, WWE's attitude era. Like, you know what I mean?
It so is.
It was so over the top, so swaggy, so much like the characters that came out of it.
Yeah.
Third leg Greg.
Yeah. Yeah. The seventh floor crew.
I mean, like, there was a lot. And Miami had that swagger against Florida.
They did.
I mean, the way that they came out, it truly is incredible. And they go out in front of, what was it, 92,000 people in the swamp? I think is what they said that the crowd was. It was 90 degrees and 92,000 people.
92,000 sad people.
Well, there wasn't that many people at halftime.
My goodness.
They packed up and left, and basically all that was left that after that halftime crowd was Miami fans.
I think when you look at it, though, I think this says a lot about Mario Cristobal getting out of the way of his offense, finally, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just watching the way they operated and how many times, whether it was here at Oregon or his first couple years at Miami, it was Mario Cristobal trying to force the, we're going to run the ball, control the clock, and just pound the rock at all costs. We're not seeing that from them anymore. We're not. They are high-flying. They are allowing Cam Ward to operate and be the explosive playmaker that he is. I thought that it was really fun to kind of see the way that they impose their will in a completely different way from anything Mario Cristobal has wanted or accepted. They didn't run the ball nearly as effectively as we thought they would, right? Damian Martinez is one of the best backs in college football, 15 carries for 65 yards.
And he was a tone setter for them.
Yes, he was.
And he's the guy that first and 10, everybody knows when they're running the ball, he's going to run the ball and get you 4 yards.
Yep.
Now they've got a change of pace, and they've got Cam Ward. And what Cam Ward did was show a mastery of a system in week one. The only time that he looked uncertain of what he wanted to do with the ball was the first two drives.
I think that says something about Florida as well.
Yee. Which is insane, because as we've been talking about, the ranking of rosters, the total talent, Miami is 12th Florida's 12th in the nation.
Yep.
12th.
Should be better. Should be better.
Not even like a, they should be a little bit better. They should be drastically better.
Yep.
But the one spot that they don't have any kind of, not even advantage, but a foothold, is the most important position in football. It's a quarterback. And that is the difference for Miami. Name a quarterback in 24 years at Miami that was remotely above average.
Ken Dorsey was.
Okay.
There's a lot of guys that we were told are supposed to be.
Van Dyke, remember? He was supposed to be a guy that was, you know, you're going to take them to another level.
Yeah. But
it's a short list. They have not had a quarterback come out of there. Excuse me. During the broadcast, I don't think they've had a first round quarterback since then.
Since Ken Dorsey. I'm going through it here. No.
It's bad. No, they've had players everywhere else. They have not been able to bring a quarterback to Miami in two decades.
Golly. Yeah, it's been a really long time. It really is. It's Ken Dorsey. Ken Dorsey would be the guy. 2002. So we're talking 22 years ago. Huh. Yikes. Not good.
Are you buying Miami, or is this just one week against Florida?
I think they are in a far better place, and if Mario Cristobal does kind of stay out of the way, I look at it and I go, Cristobal up 24-10 at halftime in the past, he would have just sat back, said we were going to run the ball, we're going to get out of this game, and we're going to control the clock. They came out in 12 of their first 15 plays in the second half.
It was Cam
scoring drives, they threw the football. And it was even with a couple of incompletions, mm-hmm. and Cristobal would always pucker up and be like, no, we're not going to do this. Nope. Kept throwing the ball, kept Cam Ward's arm live and active, and that's what he needs to do now. He can't win football games, especially at Miami, in the ACC, playing that way. He has the quarterback finally to unleash and say, go be you, go be great. We saw it with Justin Herbert. In Justin Herbert's last year at Oregon, right? Mm-hmm. The refusal to run Herbert.
Yep.
It was ridiculous. He would just say, no, no, no. What did they do? Final two games of the year, Justin Herbert was allowed to run, and he killed Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl with his legs.
Letting Cam Ward be Cam Ward, it may bump Cam Ward up to being the top quarterback taken in the draft.
And I love what Cam Ward said after the game, though, because he went ride or die for the Pac-12.
There were 90,000 people, full throats, at the beginning of this game, loud as hell.
No.
I don't know if this was the loudest environment you ever played.
It wasn't. I played at USC.
Okay.
USC wasn't packed, but it was louder than this. I played at Oregon, it was louder than this. The Pac-12 gets misspoken for. The Pac-12, that's where I believe real football is played. Meech Powell even come from Washington. Washington was one of the loudest environments I played. I would say advice to the fans, if you're going to be loud, you have to be loud when we're huddling. You can't just be loud once we break the huddle. By that time, it's no point. You know, we hear the play. We communicate already. But, you know, it was a good atmosphere to play in. And, you know, I'm just excited that, you know, we were able to, you know, get a victory.
Pac-12 is where real football's played. Yeah. In your face, rest of the country.
Take it, SEC.
Wish that Cam Ward would have had that platform before the Pac-12 dissolved.
Hmm.
11-1.
11-1. Again,
11-1.
The Pac-12 continuing.
Yeah. And look, Miami's built on Pac-12 players. Cam Ward, Washington State. Damian Martinez, Oregon State. How about the first touchdown of the season for Miami? Cam McCormick,
Ninth year college football,
Same
baby.
Same recruiting class as me.
Dr. McCormick. He only had one catch for 9 yards, but it was a touchdown. So,
would you think he would trade that for anything right now?
Pac-12 representing.
Not and too bad.
Everybody else? Crotch chop.
That covers two of the three Florida teams. The third one in Florida State.
Yeah.
Sweet Mary and Moses. What do you make of this team?
They're bad. I mean,
And it, again, DJ is getting all of the flack, and it's not just him.
No, defensively in the trenches where Florida State has always been really good, they're just getting carved up. We saw it with Georgia Tech when Brent Key said,
run the ball.
Boston College racked up a bajillion yards on the ground as well. I think
190.
It was 190 yards.
On 36 carries. I'm sorry, that's Georgia Tech game.
It was 263 yards Boston College ran the ball for. Florida State, 21.
Yeah.
Outgained 263-21. It's absolutely inexcusable when you're Florida State.
How does that happen? How do you get the crap kicked out of you by Boston? Look, Georgia Tech, I can squint and see it. You know what I mean? Like, that's their identity. Haynes King's
a lot of it is coaching because of the fact, like, and I love Mike Norvell.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mike Norvell is a really good coach. There is a disconnect on especially the defensive side of the football, and very limited offensively. Their offensive linemen, stupid penalties all game long. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was one at the end of the game where they have a chance. Like, they had a puncher's chance near the end of the game to score, and maybe you get an onside kick, you get the ball back. Mm-hmm. And one of their offensive linemen comes up and just puts his hand right under the chin of a Boston College defensive lineman. And Boston College guy, he flopped.
No, sure.
But it was a ridiculous move by the offensive lineman. 15-yard penalty. They end up having to punt instead of keeping a drive alive. They had boneheaded mistakes, stupid penalties throughout the course of the first two games of the season.
And who's the head coach at Boston College?
Bill O'Brien. And good I think coach? Nobody is giving BC credit right now because it was game one for him. But that's the bigger concern for Florida State. Your biggest improvements come between week one and week two. Mm-hmm.
And you regressed.
I don't know if they regressed. I think Boston College might be pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think they're going to be great by any means. But Bill O'Brien is a damn good coach.
The talent disparity between those two schools is a chasm.
Yep. Yep.
A chasm.
And this is kind of the Vancouver Ford text line points it out. Like, Norvell hit a bunch of home runs in the portal last season. It's a risky game to rely on so much every year. Seminoles seem to have struck out this year. 100%. And that's one of the hard parts about building through a portal is it's good to fill gaps. You can't build your roster from scratch. And Miami did a hell of a job at it, going mm-hmm. and getting guys like Damian Martinez and Cam Ward.
I mean, they got the top two transfers.
But they also went out and Mario Cristobal recruits his ass off
yes.
too. And wins those battles.
And they're what? Miami's fifth right now in recruiting? Yeah, fifth.
If you look at, there are five FBS teams in the state of Florida, if you add Florida International,
UCF.
Florida and Atlantic, and or I guess six in UCF, if you look at their records right now, it's not pretty at all. They are 2-6. Lone wins being Miami over a team from the state, mm-hmm. and then Central Florida picked up a win week one over New Hampshire, emphatically 57-3. But they're 2-6 in the state of Florida, the second most talent-rich state in the entire country. Think about that. Second most recruits of any state in the country.
Lane Kiffin ain't walking through that door.
No. Maybe walking through that Denny's, though.
I give you dealer's choice. You want to pivot to the NFL or you want to wrap up the rest of college football week?
No. We could just wrap up college football.
All right, when we come back, we will wrap up the rest of week one in college football. But first, here's Big Will Betts, the Sports Center Update.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
Week one of the college football season is come and gone. We'll put our finishing touches here on what was an okay week of college football, but
It was great.
Don't get me wrong. I watched so much. But the games themselves were not great. But we did get one that was truly great Sunday night with LSU-USC coming down to the final possession and with a game on the line. That was the only game where we had it come down to the closing seconds.
Yeah, and that's the world of college football mm-hmm. that we live in. But it gave us drama. In that SC game, I think the biggest thing is your defense came through in a time where you needed a stop, mm-hmm. and you finally got one. And that was never the case for USC.
The play of the game was not the touchdown at the end. It wasn't Kyron Hudson's two insane catches. It was the fourth down in the red zone.
Yep.
Where they stood up. Like, I jumped up and screamed because that...
No way, you did?
It is the first time in 3 years that they have had a game where they won on defense at the point of attack and in the running lanes. They did not lose. And it was weird to see. They tackled. Their DBs came up and made plays. Kamari Ramsey came up and made, I think he was their leading tackler.
He was.
He was their leading tackler. and he made tackles.
You don't want your DB being the leading tackler.
Yeah, they got again, they got to the edge, but he made big tackles that kept the plays that in the Oregon USC game where last year where it was quick little 5-yard play that went for 70.
The explosives were limited, and look, LSU still has the explosive playmakers on the outside, yep. and they can pop anything mm-hmm. for a big one, but they limited those, and that was a massive step forward for their defense.
Yep. It could not have gone better.
And then on top of that, LSU, this was a game of who would play defense, right? Mm-hmm. That was the big question.
I thought LSU played pretty damn well defensively.
They did, and they got their holes.
Mm-hmm.
And they got some major.
I can tell you where they don't have a hole.
Question mark.
On their pass rush. Their pass rush got after it.
Yep.
They had 6 knockdowns. I think they ended up finished with 7. 7 knockdowns.
I wonder where, at the end of the year, where we're looking at both of these teams. Because Brian Kelly was pissed at the end of the
game. Oh, God, yes.
You know, hitting the table, saying this is the first time I've been mad at my guys. Like, come on, Brian Kelly, your face is red every single game.
Yeah.
You're disappointed and you're pissed at him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, that is your starting mood.
Womp, womp. Mm-hmm. Like, we know who you are as a coach. You are a colossal a-hole who's now feeling pressure because this is back-to-back years. You go down and you lose.
You've lost 3 straight openers.
But on a one-possession game at the end, you lose to a team that it also vaults them up. That Brian Kelly, early in the year, he is a really good coach of finding out the faults of his team as the season goes on. Beginning of the year, they always lose these games.
Yeah.
Whether he was at Notre Dame mm-hmm. or at LSU, like these are not the games he wins.
These are the games that he loses, and they get better throughout the year.
And then they'll win games at the end of the year, and they'll peel off a couple from a team that you don't expect them to beat, and all of a sudden LSU is relevant at the end of the season. And that's why it's a great win for USC, too, is that it's a great win for them because their schedule is not easy by any stretch. Hopefully this gets Lincoln Riley off of the, why do we schedule these games? Well, because you can learn a lot about your team and find out where you are as a measuring stick. And Miller Moss looked really good. Zachariah Branch trying to figure out ways to get him the ball. And
terrifying.
That was a really good thing that LSU did is they limited Branch, I thought, pretty well.
Yeah, no, the only
in the return play, game, yeah. No, but
That was it. He had the one kick return where if the kicker doesn't catch him to stumble, he's housing it.
Yep. But that is going to be the next question for USC in the evolution of how they become more explosive mm-hmm. is can you get Branch the ball in space a lot more? But you have weapons. We know Lincoln Riley can always recruit weapons to USC. It finally seems like you have a defense that's not going to just gack away games left and right.
And that's all.
That's good.
That's all you need right now.
Yeah.
Again, this is not a national title competing team.
Nope.
That's not what they are.
Nope. But you can't continue the backslide.
No, and it's exactly it. Because I coming into the season, I said it over and over again. 8, probably, maybe 9 wins. This win, this bolts them up to 9, probably 10 wins.
You are going to be insufferable if they beat Michigan.
If they beat Michigan, I'm going to lose it.
Yeah.
100%. Because if they beat Michigan, it's just Notre Dame. That's
Penn State, too. They have Penn
State.
But
you can lose one.
Yeah.
That's my point. But if they go through that rest of that schedule and they only drop one, they're in the playoff. And if that's the step forward that you take, then you're back to restoring what you did in year one. And not taking that step back that you took in year 2.
Yep.
And if that all of a sudden starts to change and Lincoln Riley, much like Mario Cristobal, gets out of his own way and lets De'Anton Lynn run the defense the way that he's been. I could not have asked more from that defense. It wasn't the best performance I've ever seen.
Yeah. Injuries and attrition because they're not deep. That's going to be the big one. That's going to be the big one as the season goes on. But, dude, it was a really good start for SC.
The question that I have is, 8-9 weeks from now, are we going to look at this as LSU just wasn't that good? And USC beat a team barely on a neutral field that was not that good?
No, because of just what Brian Kelly does at LSU, right? Like, mm-hmm. his track record will tell you that he'll get them to a spot where at the end of the year we'll go, oh, yeah, look at, oh, by the way, look at LSU. look at it, a pretty dang good LSU team this season. But their schedule, when you look at, I mean, that's how all these breaks go. They're going to get right. They don't have October 12th, next time they play a team of consequence. Mm-hmm. Nicholls State at South Carolina, US or UCLA, South Alabama. Those are the next four for LSU. So at that point, if USC handles their business, especially if you can go and peel one off against Michigan in the Big House in Ann Arbor, and then if LSU is 4-0 or 4-1 at that point, then they go and play Ole Miss, and I think we'll find out what LSU is then. But that one could look a hell of a lot better by mid-October for USC. Even though it's ridiculous that we sit there and we put that much stock in what a team is at the beginning of the year compared to what they are at the end. Yeah.
But I think rightfully so, USC had a ton of pressure on them.
Absolutely.
Because if they go out there and they yak this game away, it's like, oh, there's Lincoln Riley, still not learning.
Yep.
Defense still sucks. You know, it's one of those situations. One of the stats that came out of this weekend as I was scrolling through, in the not big matchups, Alabama, Texas, Tennessee, and Ole Miss, they combined to outscore their opponents 254-3.
Ooh-wee.
Three total points scored by four opponents. Now, I get it. When you're playing the likes of Furman, it's expected that you go. But the
handling your business, that is really hard to do.
And we saw it with Oregon. Again, Furman and Idaho, different levels. But what was the spread
still
on the
still an FCS team.
Yeah. What was the spread on Oregon, Idaho?
43.5.
The expectation is they go out there, and I think historically Oregon had beaten FCS opponents by 43.
No, I mean,
I saw a stat that
we've had a couple that have been with the 81-7 last year against Portland State really skews
it,
that.
It brings the average up, but I believe historically Oregon had beaten their last 10 or last 20 FCS opponents by an average of 43.
Yep.
So to go out there, to do what those teams did in Bama, Texas, Tennessee, Ole Miss. And
unbelievable.
The thing that stands out is with all four of those teams, four teams.
In Missouri, too. Missouri won 51-0.
I could add that in there, and we're at 305-3.
Goodness.
But three of those teams in Texas, Tennessee, and Ole Miss, those three quarterbacks came out and showed you they are ready.
Yep. Yep.
Quinn Ewers, and then Arch Manning got more time on ESPN.
Nico Iamalave, who was the big money recruit at Tennessee, which was like $8 million. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it was to bring him into Tennessee. He put on a show. Yep. Again, competition, but put on that show. Yep. Rack up yards, rack up points. Quarterback play obviously has gotten a lot better in those situations.
We talked about coming into this year about the NFL draft being down for quarterbacks. Where they won't be down is in the young quarterbacks group.
Yeah, and that's usually what happens. I mean, 2 years ago, we didn't have a great quarterback draft. This past year, you saw five go out the board.
And now, and now you've got Nico, who looks like a guy who's going to be an absolute stud. And then the true freshman, Dylan Raiola at Nebraska.
He had a couple of Mahomesy throws. Even Patrick Mahomes was like, yeah, go get it. He
looks like him.
No, that's super weird. He wears 15. He has the same haircut. He wears the weird sunglasses like Mahomes. He is trying too hard to look like Patrick Mahomes, but I'll be damned if he didn't have a couple of those throws where it was like, whoa. I don't know. You know what really concerns me about him, though? Mm. You know how many high schools he went to?
Didn't he go to one every year?
He went to four high schools.
The Bear Alexander tour.
And then he committed, decommitted, committed, mm-hmm. decommitted, committed, decommitted, committed.
Yeah, he was Georgia, right?
Georgia. Yeah. I think there were a couple of schools that he committed to.
Possibly Texas as well.
Yeah. It was, I don't know. That's always a big question mark for me. I don't like guys who bounce around that much. That's an aggressive amount. That's really aggressive.
Yeah, no. Bear Alexander is the only other one I can think of that's like that.
He tried to get out of SC this year.
And then he came back.
Yeah.
Didn't he do the same thing?
He was at Ole Miss the whole time.
But, I mean, high school. Wasn't he a guy that – was he one of the bigger – There was a rush end that went to like four different high schools. I can't remember. I thought it was
that might be. That sounds like it might be right. I don't know.
It's not the first time we've seen this. And it's
not one bit.
It's very common in basketball, but it's a little bit weird when it happens in football. You know what I mean? That level of continuity and style that kind of builds with it. It's very weird. Anything else in college football you want to hit on?
No.
I think that's it.
We did a great job.
I think we hit all of the top 25.
We got through all of it.
Well, we
God, really, what a great time.
We didn't really mention Ohio State, but that's fine. Nobody cares about them.
We did at the beginning of the show.
Oh, that's right. We did at the very beginning of the show. Yeah, there you go. All right, we'll pivot up, finish up today's show with some news and notes coming out of the NFL heading into week one here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan. I know you hate me, but I'll ask
anyway. Won't you come with me? Before we dive into the NFL real quick, quick little factoid. We were wondering how long it had been since a team in the top 10 had absolutely eaten crap the way Florida State has. And you have found the data here.
I got it right here. Florida State is now the third team to go from the preseason top 10 to unranked after the first week of the college football season. In the past 35 years, the other preseason top 10 teams to fall out of the top 25 after week one were 2007 Michigan, which lost to Appalachian State. And then the number five Clemson Tigers in 2008. They lost to Alabama in blowout fashion to tumble out of the rankings altogether. But Florida State.
That's a little bit different.
In week one, they become the first to do this. After week one, to lose twice.
Yeah, and losing twice in week one is impressive.
And as a double-digit favorite in both of those games.
Unbelievable. At least they didn't do it at home. Oh.
Yeah, they did last night.
They did.
They did last night to Boston College.
That's what I was saying.
In the home of Guinness, they lost as well. So, yeah, Florida State, only the third team to go from top 10 to unranked after the 1 week of college football.
Impressive.
Yikes.
In the record books.
That's brutal.
Also in the record books, 49ers left tackle Trent Williams. We've got details on his deal. 3 years, $82.6 million.
That's a lot of money.
They move basically all of it into cash. He's getting $27.65 million in cash with 25.69, of that being a signing bonus and then a 1.12 base salary.
Yeah, this is what he wanted, though, is that he had non-guaranteed money in the rest of his deal. He was like, no, give me my monies. I want more monies. Give me the monies now. And he got all the monies, and he's worth every damn penny of it because even though he is 35 years old, he'll turn 36 during the season.
He still might be the best player in football.
That man is the best tackle in football. I mean, you look at the way that he played last year. He went 789 consecutive snaps without allowing a sack. 789.
Remind me again, is he up against good pass rushers?
The best. The best. So good for Trent Williams. Good for Trent Williams. Good for Brock Purdy, actually. Probably the most happy about this is Brock Purdy.
I mean, yeah. Having a guy, literally having to not worry one bit about a pass rusher on your blind side ever.
That's pretty good.
Is quite the feat.
That's pretty good.
So.
Cam Hayward also got paid today, too.
Cam Hayward got paid. And it feels like there has been a Hayward on the Steelers for the past 40 years.
Well, yeah, because Cam Hayward, he is 35. Good day to be 35 years old and get paid in the NFL.
Crazy. I could not believe that Cam Hayward was 35.
3 year deal, $45 million, and $29 million is in new money. $16 million is only guaranteed, though. And this is, unlike an offensive lineman, defensive lineman, you can fall off a little bit faster than that. So Cam Hayward getting his monies. Good for him. He's a vet, 13-year guy in the NFL. And look, I don't know if anybody watched any of the preseason for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but you can pay the guy now as like a thank you.
You're not competing for any Super Bowls with that quarterback. With either of those quarterbacks.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can make that plural because neither one of them are.
And Brandon Ayuk wouldn't have changed that either.
All right.
Take the quarterback sorted. That's where you're at.
All right.
Hey, NFL football.
This week, Thursday.
Here.
We're only 2 days away.
Ooh.
Two more sleeps till NFL football.
You'll be down in Eugene tomorrow.
Yes, I
will. Live and on location from Autzen Stadium yet again.
That's what I'm talking about.
Where you will have all of the comings and goings of what Dr. Lanning served up.
Oh, Dante Manning had a great quote. Because Dan Lanning says that they take a visit to the doctor after every game. And Dante Manning's quote today after practice was, the doctor didn't like what he saw. Yep, that's a fair assessment of how week one Oregon Idaho went. So I'll be down there.
The scans did not come up clean.
Maybe we catch up again with Uncle Jerry, have Jerry Allen back on. We'll try to track down some guests and party tomorrow down in Eugene.
I like it.
All right, well, that does it for us today. Up next, you got 4 hours of power. Isaac Ropp was so excited he just came barreling through the door.
Ringing gongs.
He's ready to radio. So is Sook. Sook in here far earlier than ever before. 4 hours of power from their mouths to yours. It's prime time with us. Good Sook. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. See you Wednesday from noon to three.
Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.